Welcome to the Defend the Fort podcast, a product of the Tigers Sports Network and Eagle Radio.
It's over. Bud Hayes has won the national championship in overtime, 48-46. The Tigers have won the national title.
4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Todd Morris will step it up. It is on the rim and good!
This is Gerard Welbrock, and we appreciate you joining us as we visit with current and former Fort Hays State Tigers.
2 seconds, 1 second, that's going to do it. The Fort Hays State Tigers are national champions. Fort Hays State national champions.
The Defend the Fort podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays.
Snap is low, the hold down, the kick is up. It's got enough distance. Will it get through? It is good!
It's good!
He hit it! 56 yards! A career long for Dante Brown! And we go to overtime!
The Defend the Fort podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry. They're located on the Bricks of beautiful downtown Hays. Hey, stop on by for a new and innovative way of looking and purchasing quality jewelry. Diamond R has the most cutting-edge, style-driven, and customer-focused jewelry company in all of Western Kansas. You'll be glad you stopped by, and they've got the largest selection of engagement and wedding rings. That's Diamond R Jewelry on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays. They're the Diamond Broker of Kansas. Diamond R Jewelry, online at DiamondKansas.com. Well, we are thrilled to have with us today on the Defend the Fort podcast, former voice of the Fort Hays State Tigers, current voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, so good to have you take a little time to join us here today on the podcast. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing very, very well, Gerard. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me on. I hope you are well. Hope all of the great people in the Hays area are doing well, too, in kind of a trying time, but we are fighting through it, and hopefully we'll be back to normal or something close to that here soon.
Yeah, whatever that's going to look like when we get through all of this. And this podcast is, yeah, I guess when there's no sports, you try to find things to do. And that's how this podcast was born. And it's been a lot of fun talking with former coaches, former student athletes and players and former broadcasters. And you know, I always ask the players, you know, how they found Fort Hays State. What was the recruiting like? How did, you know, those connections, how was that made? And I might just start there with you, maybe your introduction to broadcasting and then how you ended up in Hays and being the voice of the Tigers.
Well, my introduction to broadcasting is probably longer than you want, but I'll give you the shortened version of it.
We have plenty of time.
My first job out of school was at KLOE in Goodland, working for Kay Melia, who was a very, very good friend of Bob Schmidt's. I actually worked for Bob before moving out to Goodland. I started to work there. Boy, this dates me for sure, but I started to work there in the summer of 1976. That was a fabulous training ground. I really, really enjoyed it. I was ready for almost none of it, but it got me going and gave me a good base. I got to do so many things there, Gerard, and as a broadcaster, you know how important that is. I was thinking at that point that, you know, I could be a play-by-play guy in my career, but had no clue as to what I could do in terms of news or production or television or any of those kind of things. And at KLOE, I was introduced to all of it. Then later down the line, I worked for Bob Hilgendorf in Great Bend, and that's kind of where I started to follow the Tigers a little bit and got to know Bob Davis. And, of course, when Bob got the KU job, I certainly tried to get the job in Hays, and I was so fortunate that it worked out that way. And I spent a fantastic 5 years there, loved every second of it.
Well, then obviously you went on to Colorado State, where you had a good career, did some work with the Broncos on their pregame and postgame and halftime shows, and then your current position with the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. So it's kind of come full circle to where you went to school. And I think back to you when you became the voice of the Tigers. You had a pretty good start. Football wasn't bad, and then you get a call a national championship in your first year of basketball. It all went downhill from there.
Well, it really is, as I look back on it now, such good fortune on so many different levels. I think about the people I worked with at the two high schools. I think about the people that were at Fort Hays State at that time. And who does, under normal circumstances, walk into a basketball program, as an example, at any level, and you're defending national champions, and then you repeat in what turned out to be my first full year as the voice of the Tigers. I always have looked back on that as such a special time for so many reasons. I found Bill Morris to be one of the most intriguing sports figures in my 40-some year broadcasting career. I still feel that way. the job that he did, you know what? It is so hard to repeat in anything, you know, as even a conference champion, and to do it as national champion with that kind of team was a thrill of a lifetime. I'll always remember it. And you know, when you were replaying those semifinal games and the national championship game earlier, I couldn't help myself but to listen to a lot of that, and I did get a lot of feedback too, which was really cool. Most of it was positive, I think, and I had a good time with that. It was really cool.
Well, that was fun to listen and realize how good those teams were. And obviously, it was different back in the mid-80s with NAIA basketball and Division II and everything. But, boy, there was some great talent and fun to relive those memories. But you realize how good those two teams were. And really that whole stretch, there was the third-place run the year before, 84, and still had a good team the year after, just couldn't quite get back to Kansas City. But such great talent and just an exciting brand of basketball that Coach Morris had out there.
Well, I think I would add to what you're saying, and I think you're right on the money, by let's remind people how good the league was at that point, the old CSIC. I mean, you had a young Bob Chipman at Washburn. You had really a legendary coach at Emporia State and Ron Slaymaker. Kearney State in those days had Bart Kofod and some of those types of kids, and that kid was in the NBA for a short period of time. It was a very, very, very high level of college basketball at the NAIA level, and that was really something different. But I think about, you know, the Coliseum and how it rocked, and, you know, Washburn opening up Lee Arena, you know, in that era and that kind of thing. And it just, I don't know if I had at the time the respect and admiration for it as I do now. I think I had some, Gerard, to be honest with you. But boy, I look back on it now and think about how lucky can one guy be to experience that. Those games were, wow, they were just high-level, high-power, high-energy games.
Well, and you mentioned the Coliseum rocking, and obviously things have changed at the Division II and the NAIA level. There wasn't ESPN like it is now and games on every night of the week. I mean, it was, can't miss basketball and the crowds, and everybody refers to the glory days, but the crowds were just phenomenal. That was the thing to do, and it was a big-time atmosphere in Little O'Hays America.
Well, it was, and when you're talking about that, one of the things that flashes to me is that scene in Hoosiers where there are buses driving down a little two-lane road, and I think about, you know, Kemper in Kansas City in those days and all of the people in Hayes and in the surrounding area that went down there to support the Tigers. I remember doing a game in that first year where that might have even been the first game at the national tournament. I'm going, there's so many people here. Is there anybody left in town that could possibly be listening to Bob Templeton and I tonight? And so you look at that and you go, hey, that's okay too. That's great to have that kind of support.
Man, it was fun. You mentioned Bob Templeton, general manager at the time, and was on the broadcast with both Bob Davis and yourself when you guys called the games. It was fun to hear him calling the games, and then that championship, Bob coming over and helping out. It really was a fun listen, and you could just the excitement and the fun that you guys had on the broadcast was really neat.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up because, you know, I had kind of, and I told BD this, Bob Davis this, I said, you know, you kind of over the course of time, you forget certain things. And I had forgotten, you know, about him, you know, being a part of that and how cool it was. Because, you know, I remember the first time I heard Bob Davis, he was doing a football game at the stadium. And I was... at the time, you know, working in Great Bend and listening, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this guy is so good. I want to kind of be like that and hopefully have, you know, that kind of sound and excitement and all of that. And then later, you know, when I came to K-State and he was at the University of Kansas, you know, I think our relationship even grew more and more and more. And I just have always had, you know, appreciation for him, even back to that first year for me at Fort Hays, because as I got settled into the job, and there, you know, at that time there wasn't the social media and stuff. If there were people that, you know, thought, who is this guy? You know, I didn't know that like you might today, and that might have been a good thing. But I just had such great respect for him, and you know, people there loved him because he'd been there for so long and had done such great work, and now he's on to KU. And you think about not that many years after that, you know, Danny and the Miracles and the stuff he did at KU, and that's a pretty good ride in his own right, don't you think?
Yeah, not bad at all. We could all be so fortunate.
Amen.
Well, and I mean, it obviously big footsteps to or shoes to fill, following in those footsteps, and obviously you did a great job, and. The lineage of broadcasters who've called Fort Hays State, and you mentioned K-Melia, and one of the, I think, cool things that has emerged with the Tiger auction was when we got together to get basketball or baseball or football autographed for the auction. It started off just in small groups, and eventually we all got together. Just cherish those times with Bob Schmidt and K-Melia, who are no longer with us. You realize, I mean, how fortunate we are to follow in their footsteps, how good they were and the foundation they laid and the stories they could tell and just what great people they were. It's really neat.
You said so much there, Gerard, and I referenced earlier my time in Goodland with Kay, who I still, right or wrong, I still regard as one of the probably five or six best broadcasters in the history of our state, and I mean that sincerely. He was such a versatile talent. He could have gone anywhere, and I think most people knew that, but he loved the smaller town life and enjoyed running, you know, the stations there in Goodland and was in Hays prior to that. And then, of course, when I got to Hays, and I mean, the type of individual Bob Schmidt was, is hard to quantify for those who don't, but those who do know him know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, what an incredible person, such a giving guy, cared about the people that, you know, worked around him and with him and all of those kind of things. And I think I had a much deeper appreciation for that after I wasn't there anymore. Not that my time in Colorado wasn't good, because it was, but Bob was an extraordinary guy. And there were so many people at KYS in those days. You know, I think about Mike Cooper as an example. How many, you know, stations in that size of market have a guy like that who's so committed to city and, you know, county and the surrounding area and that radio station and those radio stations? Pretty special.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're visiting with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, former voice of the Fort Hays State Tigers, kind of going down a memory lane here on the Defend the Fort podcast, talking about why it's time as voice of the Fort Hays State Tigers. We talked about basketball, and obviously, you know, the mid-'80s was a special time. I had a chance on this to talk with Robert Long, former quarterback, and going back and looking, you kind of forget football was pretty good. There were some pretty good football teams during your time here. It kind of gets lost because basketball was obviously winning national championships, but they had some pretty good football teams as well.
I am not trying to be funny in any way, but occasionally I will wake up in the middle of the night from a dream of Robert Long to Eric Busenbark. I don't know if you remember those days or not.
Oh, I do, yes.
But
wow,
baby, I do. And I loved it. I ran into Robert a few years ago. I don't know. I think, obviously, he recognized me. It took me a little bit to figure out who he was. I was there, of course, for the Big 12 tournament, but we had a nice conversation, and I was a really, really, really big fan of his and that team. And I think you said that quite well, that because of the basketball success at that time, that football team kind of gets undervalued in some ways. And I think that's a shame, because that was, oh my gosh, I remember the Pittsburgh State game when Coach Fran was there. It was like 54-45. I mean, I ran out of score sheets. It was like doing an eight-man game, and those types of kids were so fun to be around. And of course, you know, Tom Stromgren was the athletic director there when I first got there, and he was such a neat guy and an innovative individual. And you know, I'm probably making a mistake here naming so many people, because I'll leave so many out. But you know, guys like Tom Cross and Mike Carl and Coach Flax at TMP, and man, what a special time for me. I loved it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was certainly some great action on the court, and you brought it alive through your radio broadcasts, and it kind of fun to reminisce about all of that. And you mentioned the CSIC, and you kind of touched on it in basketball. It was, and it's kind of what the MIAA is now, with the exceptions of a few schools. It kind of morphed into what the Tigers are a part of now, but it was a special conference. And for the NAIA days, it kind of had a Big Eight type feel to it, and some great venues, great rivalries. That I think that helped to make it even more special during those NAIA days with the CSIC, and how competitive and how neat it was.
Well, I'll tell you a real quick story. Many years ago when I was there that first year, I was begging my parents to come out for a game. And finally I got them there. and I like telling this, because I don't think they had any clue what they were in for. And they were both blown away by the crowd and the enthusiasm and how loud it was, and just the entire experience. And I remember walking out of the arena that night and my dad saying, "Son, I had no idea. Thanks for exposing me to this." I never have forgotten that, because in those days, you know, that was such a great, I mean, that team and those teams around that particular season, you know, some of the most unique individuals and talented people that I've been fortunate enough to be around in my career. And I've been pretty lucky, Gerard, you know that. So that's a mouthful, but I mean, you start thinking about that team with Raymond Lee and Ed Garrison and Ron Morris and Dan Lear and all those kind of guys. I mean, there's a reason they won 35 games, but man, they were pretty dang good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you mentioned Bill Morris, and you kind of touched on him earlier. Great success, you know, from coming from Michigan and what he did at Fort Hays State, and very entertaining to watch from the stands as a coach, and how they could slow the game down, play up tempo, and just get after it on defense. And he certainly was a unique coach. And obviously as good as it gets at any level.
Oh, that's well said again, because I think you touched on the key there for him, because he could basically beat you at about any style. They had, you know, when they wanted to, they could play suffocating defense in the passing lanes, great hands, you know, dunks at the other end, those kind of things. They could also play up-tempo. They could beat you in the half court just with their strength and their size and their athleticism and their ability to score. It really was. I mean, you could play a lot of different styles. And I just felt like, you know, I guess I learned as I watched him, you know, what it was like to have the pressure of being the champions and yet getting the absolute best out of those guys almost every night. I do think back at that time and remember when you're 35-3, there are so many great things, but I remember how upset he was on one loss and the way he handled it, and he got after him pretty good, and they responded the next time out with like a 40-point win or whatever, and it's like, yep, that's how you do it, and that's how you do it. He had a lot of that going for him, I can promise you that.
Well, it's a couple of national titles, another third-place finish. It was quite a run at Fort Hays State. We're visiting with Wyatt Thompson, the former voice of Fort Hays State and currently now the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. And I guess on a personal note, it's been fun to chat with you guys who've preceded me in this position. But I was in school when you took over, and you were very kind to a college-age kid who kind of pestered you a little bit and let me hang around and travel to some games and kind of learn the ropes and laid a foundation for my career. That certainly has been appreciated by me.
Well, I'm glad you brought the subject up, because I know when you first contacted me, I could tell that was something that you had a great amount of passion for. And all these years later, I've helped a lot of guys. I don't know that I've helped many that do it like you do it, and I'm proud of you for that. I know when you asked to help, I'm sure, one, the pay wasn't very good, and two, it wasn't exactly what you wanted to do from the get-go, but I don't know that I'd change it, because I think it helped you. I guess I'll speak for all of the former Tiger voices, even back to Bob Schmidt and Kay Melia. I know how those guys felt about you, and the job you do there is extraordinary, man. I'm really happy that you've had such a long career and you're loved out there, man. That's a great thing. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I certainly appreciate the kind words. I still get asked when I'm going to win a national championship. The bar between Webster and you and Bob kind of set the bar a little high. Hopefully that day comes. But I do still get asked about that occasionally.
Well, sure. Does Webby talk to you about that too?
You know, every now and then he might
every
bring it up.
Then?
Yeah, once in a while.
There's another guy that I have so much respect for as a broadcaster. You know, when, you know, he was really the guy that was at Fort Hays for a while, right after me, mm-hmm. and then you, of course. And but when I came to K-State, you know, he kind of did too through Wichita, as you know.
Right.
And I always, that first couple of years, I so enjoyed working with him. You know, doing the Snyder Show, and you know, the. He did women's basketball at K-State in those days, and that was that Kane Wecker bunch of, mm-hmm. That was oldie, that was so good. So, yeah, he's a special person too.
And then for you, going back to Manhattan, where you went to school, how your career has kind of come full circle, you know, calling the games for your alma mater has had to be very special and still has to be very special.
Well, K-State's a special place. There's no doubt about that. I've always loved it, you know, and when you're here, this is hard to put into the proper words, I think, but the kind of like at Fort Hays and the city of Hays, they're so into, you know, the university in every way, but the athletics is so important for them, and that's the way it is in Manhattan, and I love that part of it. I've been really fortunate here too to be here for a long time and work with, you know, a lot of great people, and you know, the young men that and women that I've been around, the coaches that I've, you know, gotten to experience. That's why I tell people all the time I've been as lucky as anybody, and I mean that sincerely.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We talked about Bill Morse, and then you've worked a long time with Bill Snyder, two very unique individuals who've had great success. Both went are in the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame and just numerous Hall of Fames. I mean, just those two coaches alone, I mean, that's a career right there.
Oh, that's exactly right, and I think there are a lot of similarities. You know, I think there is, you know, the love of the game, but the way they taught and the way they held young people accountable and made them better people and players, I think is what sticks out for me personally. And early enough in my career, when I was working with Coach Morse, that was pretty impactful. And then we mentioned Coach Snyder, but I also experienced Sonny Lubick at Colorado State that was similar. Maybe not, you know, Bill Snyder could be really tough and Bill Morse could be really tough. Sonny wasn't necessarily that, but he was demanding and he was all about the kids. And I think those two guys were like that. They wanted you to work hard and give you everything you had, but they loved you up too, and I just so appreciate that part of it.
One thing that's changed in Division II, the exhibition games, and it has been fun. And I'm curious what it was like the first time Fort A State played K State in exhibition basketball. Had to kind of take you down memory lane a little bit and be a little strange. The two schools you called, but that's one of the neat things, allowing the Division IIs to play the D1s in exhibition play. It's been pretty neat.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I remember the first time, and it really was a pretty special feeling because it brings back, you know, those thoughts that we've been discussing here for, you know, several minutes, you know, all of the people and that time and what it meant to me then and now and all of those kind of things. And it's hard for me and probably always will be to, you know, I guess I would say, when I'm in that scenario where I'm calling two schools that mean so much, it was a weird feeling. it was a good feeling, but it was really, really, really different. But I enjoyed it too.
Well, Wyatt, we're going to let you go. We know you've got a lot of things going on, but we have so appreciated catching up, reminiscing about your time as voice of the Tigers. And on a personal note, again, appreciate everything you've done for me. I know the folks in Hayes have enjoyed following your career post Fort Hayes State and what you've done at a high, high level. But it's been fun catching up, and appreciate you taking some time to join us here on the podcast.
Well, Gerard, keep up the great work. I think this is a good thing, even through, you know, if this is the product of kind of finding something to do during COVID, this was a good thing. And I don't mean just talking to me. I'm talking about all of the other people you've talked to, too. I know you've talked to athletes and other play-by-play people and administrators and those types of things, and that's good, you know. Keeping in touch with those people is important, and I'm glad that happened. I'm the beneficiary of that, so thanks for that.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and I guess we'll probably see you in basketball here one of these seasons for sure.
I'm looking forward to that. Mark it down.
There you go. That is
former
voice of the Tigers, current voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, our guest on the Defend the Fort podcast.